Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So how do you know that you are loved? Probably my first experience of love was with my mother. After all, she was the one who was the primary caregiver for me. She made sure that I had food to eat, that I cleared my plate and even ate all the green stuff that was on it. She would take me out once or twice a year to buy me clothes so that when I was starting school, I had some new clothes to wear. She was the one that was there for me when I was riding my bike and I would fall and skin my knee, that she would take care of it. She was the one to nurture me, to provide for my growth, to take me to all the appointments that I had, whether it was going to the doctor or Cub Scouts or all of the many practices and games that I had growing up. I had the sense that my mother would do anything for me. Indeed, I had the sense, probably in the back of my mind, that my mom would even die for me. Karl Barth, the famous theologian of the last century, who wrote volumes of theological treatises and theologies, ethics, Bible studies, was once asked by a reporter what was the greatest theological idea. Now, the reporter was expecting something profound, like some theological equivalent to Einstein's theory of relativity, you know, E equals mc squared. Some theological construct that probably the average person would even have trouble understanding. But Barth simply replied, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And Jesus, in the Gospel of John, puts it another way. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." And the 17th verse is just as important. "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Those two statements actually distinguish Christianity from all other world religions. Buddhism follows an eightfold path to enlightenment. Hindus believe in karma, that your actions continually affect the way that the world treats you. Judaism, of course, has the Ten Commandments and the law that implies that God has certain requirements for all of us to follow. And Islam's code of love really does the same. In all of these, there's work to be done by us so that we can somehow deserve enlightenment or deserve salvation. Have you ever tried to earn the approval from someone else? Maybe a colleague or a boss, a parent or a grandparent, a spouse, or maybe even God? Trying to be good enough and keep on going again and again and again, except that you're just never quite measuring up. Sometimes we can feel like the proverbial hamster on the wheel. Just the wheel keeps spinning and spinning and spinning, and yet we're not really getting anywhere. St. Paul in Ephesians has another way of looking at the problem of not measuring up. What he says is that you and I are dead in sin. What happens when you're dead? Really dead. Not sick, not dying, not just having a bad day, not just, you know, connecting. Dead. What can you and I do to help ourselves if we're dead? Paul's answer is quite simply, absolutely nothing. Sin and the deadness that it causes corrupts everything. Good intentions, good actions, desire, will, intellect, reasoning. It deadens us to the life that is possible. Sin is like that, after all. Now, at first, it can be exciting, whatever it is. Pride, lust, greed, disobedience, lying, envy, attachment to stuff. But soon thereafter, it becomes an oppressor, a heartless slave driver that takes us far from God and the image that God placed on us. But the Bible proclaims God is rich in mercy, so that even when we are dead, when we're dead in sin, Christ makes us alive through his grace. And when we're washed in the waters of baptism, we come alive, we're given life. And that is why God, in his mercy, reaches out to us with his immeasurable, incomprehensible, unfathomable love. A love that would even sacrifice a son for us. God, in the person of Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection, gives himself for you and for me. And salvation is not something for us just simply to wait upon, but something that has been already delivered. By grace, Paul says, you have been saved. Notice, he's saying that in the past tense. It has already been accomplished. And the cost of that has been great. It cost Jesus' death on the cross. Love, mercy, salvation, grace, these are character traits of our God, offered by God to you and to me. A free gift that can't be earned. It can't be worked up to. He takes away all of our failings and frailties, our imperfections and offenses. And he offers us life. We, who sometimes spiritually struggle, who are dead to sin, living in broken relationship with God and others, this can only be mended by a relationship with the God of life. He gives us his grace and makes us alive. And what is grace? Grace is going to a person that you have heard in the past, and you hear the words come out of their mouth, I forgive you. Grace is the child who meets a couple for the first time at her orphanage or group home. And when they meet her, they look at her and they say, she's perfect. Grace is coming into a darkened church sanctuary when you're in a crisis. And yet you have a profound sense that you're not alone. Grace is the power that God gives someone who's addicted to say no and to turn their lives around. It's when you get that call in the middle of the night from one of your kids, And they just called because they wanted to tell you how much they love you. Grace is God sending his Son, the ultimate sacrifice for us. Grace is his invitation to faith. Grace is the most powerful force in the universe. It flows from God's nature like a river that flows in springtime. It cleanses us from sin. It frees us to serve. It inspires and transforms us to be God's people, caring and sharing, loving and supporting good works as a way of life. We are saved by grace. You and I need it. We can't live without it. We can't buy it. And we can't earn it. But through it, God creates a bond that lasts even through death. By grace, we have been saved. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.